Flying Cool Tech 103, September 9, 05. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skukan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. We're just leaving work at the American Printing House for the Blind on a rather warm afternoon. A little after 4 o'clock. In fact, I'd say it's probably about 86, 87 degrees out. At least the humidity is low. I'd like to welcome any new listeners to our show. And also welcome to you old-timers. Got an email from Shane Jackson. And he's done a nice tutorial on using the iRiver. He's got the IFP 799. And I'm not sure, I hadn't checked this all out with the 899. But it seems to be a little bit different. The 899, you know, he referred to the fact that when you shut it off, the 799 that is, it always comes back up into the MP3 mode, but that's not the case at all. With the 899, in fact, it always stays in the mode that you last left it in, which I think is a nice feature. I mean, it's not good if the menus were to stay that way, but there you go, good boy. But it is good for the modes. In fact, I always leave this one in the line-in recording, or external microphone actually, mode, just so I'm ready to go with it. I'm actually not using the iRiver at the moment. I'm using the Olympus DS2 right now, primarily because I like the automatic gain control so much. Very much on this unit. I've heard that there's some nice Sony digital recorders too that have a long recording time and automatic gain control. So if any of you good listeners knows about those, let us know. Like to be especially interested in having a demonstration and a review on it. What I would really love to see is one of these. Well, this Olympus would be just about perfect if it had more memory and possibly even a removable card. I guess I would prefer too, you know, if you had enough memory that it recorded directly into a WAV format instead of WMA. I was looking around on the Olympus site this morning, and a few people have recommended the WS-200S. That one actually gives you 4 hours of recording at the highest quality, which, like this one, the highest quality is 44.1 sample rate and 128 kbps bits per second. And that's plenty for most things. But if you did record straight to wave, that would actually require quite a bit more memory. These, of course, these Olympus ones all seem to want to record either to WMA format or DSS, they call it, which apparently is Olympus's own proprietary compression format. Another thing that Shane was mentioning on his review of the iRiver is that equalization button in the middle. Of course, there's three buttons on the right. The top one is your... Whoa, let's stop and get this branch. The top one is your on-off and your play. The middle one is your equalization. And then your bottom one is either the record or the mode. So you hold it down. I think we've mentioned this a few times on here, but you hold it down to get into the mode menu, and then you can press the joystick up and down to move between the four different modes. All right, little buddy. But the equalization button, as far as I can tell, it's, one use for it is to let you repeat a portion of an audio piece. So if you're listening to a song, you can press it and go to the end to where you want it to repeat and press it again, and it'll just keep repeating that passage that you had marked. And then to get out of it, you just press it again to get out of that repeating mode, that is. I was about to walk across, but wrong way. Be sure and check out Shane Jackson's podcast. It's a good one. And I'll put a link to it. I'll tell you here too, and that way you can get it either way you want. It's at feeds.feedburner.com/... Oh my goodness. I'll put a link to it. Or I'll probably remember it on the way home. Blind World. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. I apologize for not being able to tell you here too, because I know I get kind of frustrated sometimes when I'm listening to a show and someone tells me something. I'd rather they just at least told me once. There's no need to repeat, of course, because you can back up with these recordings. But, while you're there at the moment, if you have the opportunity, you can jog down a note. In fact, I'm going to call in to Jeff Bishop's comment line and ask him to give us a little more details on these stories that he gives us the headlines on. I was listening to his, I guess it was this morning I was listening to it, and he kept giving a headline of a story, and I thought, oh, this sounds good. I hope he'll give us some at least a few details, a brief summary of the story. And I can't count the number of times I'm like, oh man, I wish you'd have told us something about it. So, just a suggestion for you, Jeff. I think that really would make the show quite a bit more interesting. I mean, it's great to have the links, but, you know, maybe just your opinions or a little bit about what you know about the topic. I think that would be a nice improvement. Well, we had another busy week. Nice short one, of course, due to the Labor Day holiday. Got a lot done, though. We just put up a new version of the Bookport firmware and the Bookport transfer software in betas. And a new version, a new beta of Studio Recorder as well. And the Bookport beta was actually, the firmware was just a couple of bug fixes. There's been a bug in the thing for a while that you really hit hard on the navigation commands. It seems to be mainly in unindexed MP3 files or audio files that it'll act like it locks up. It doesn't actually lock up. If you wait anywhere from a few seconds to 20 seconds, it comes out of it. But then sometimes it'll say TTS resource lockup error. And sometimes it just continues on and plays just fine, and other times you have to reset it, but I believe that is fixed. And then there was a problem with creating a note with the first line being blank that is fixed in this beta. Hopefully the testers on the Bookport list will let us know for sure if that's fixed. It appears to me to be. Now, in the next couple of weeks, we've got some pretty exciting new features coming out to test. And then once those get tested, we'll be making a new release of the Bookport firmware. But good boy. Now the Studio Recorder beta has got some interesting support for what is known as external controllers. And these are boxes that you can connect to your PC either via the serial port. Good boy. That's it. Or the, let's see. Yeah, I guess it is mainly the serial port. There's actually one from RJ Cooper that's got a USB port connected too, but the driver seems to be really buggy. But anyway, we had support in there for the Plextor RE11. And what these are designed for is, you know, mainly professional recording studios, so that the narrator can have a control box with dedicated keys on it and not have to fool with the computer keyboard. It's windy out here. So there's a dedicated record button and a little light that comes on it. A lot of them have a jog wheel, so you can either do your scrubs or your rewinds and so forth. I really like the scrub, in fact, on the I believe it's the RJ Cooper one. This is a good, heavy, solid feeling box with a nice heavy jog wheel in the middle of it. Spins around, it's got an indentation for your finger, and as you're scrubbing, you can actually move it fast enough to where it actually sounds like it's just playing the file. And of course, for those of you that don't know about scrubbing, that's just a way to move through very small segments of your file to allow you to do real fine-tune editing. Another one we got is it's actually a wireless one. So that one's pretty cool too. We use these in the studios at APH. We actually are using some homemade ones that our engineers there built. In fact, we were using them on the old analog equipment and built an interface to use it with the PC. Turns out to be a very handy tool for narrators that, you know, want to concentrate on actually just doing their work and not necessarily on operating the computer.
Hello.
Hi. And I think this would be equally applicable with volunteer narrators, especially in, you know, a lot of cases a narrator will have some expertise on a subject but may not know a thing about computers or even want to know about them. So this external controller isolates them from having to know anything. And another new feature in Studio Recorder in the help menu is a dialog that shows you what each of the keys on the controller you have does with the program. Because, of course, each controller has got different keys on it. They may have some in common, like the record and the play and the stop, but there's a lot of variation, so this gives you a way to identify what each of the keys is without having to do a lot of work. Don't forget, too, the show after this one, the episode or the next article in Blind Cool Tech is the interview that Jonathan Mosen and I did on Tuesday over at APH while he was in Louisville. I'm sure he'll be a familiar name to many of you. He's the one that did the main menu show on ACB Radio for several years, actually. I'm not sure how many. Excellent. Good boy. That's it. Good boy. We've also got a lot of user feedback that we'll try to go through in the show after that. Probably come out tomorrow morning, Saturday morning. And, you know, give me some feedback about whether you like or don't like hearing the user feedback. I think it's fascinating because a lot of you have provided some good information about questions people have had in some of the other emails, questions that I've asked in these walks to work or from work. And I don't know about you guys. I'm learning a lot though, and I really appreciate it. Also, we have had Zilcho guesses none on Mystery Sound number 4. Also, like to see if some of you would like to submit a Mystery Sound. That's it, Jake. Just walking behind this car that's out in the crosswalk. Good boy. He's a good dog. Train. Yeah, these are all real bells on this side with this end of the road with the crossings. Although I thought I had heard an electronic one down on this end too. Let's see if we can get a. See, this train's not ringing its bell either. Some of it. It does doesn't seem to be so. Actually, I take that back. You do get a little of it. I've always just got a... That's right. You just get about... I've always just got the first few minutes of it. Whoops, you got another tree to trim here, little buddy. I just trimmed on the way to work this morning, but I guess we walk in different places on the way home. I got soaked too. I was talking to you about Notab Pro and editors in general. I mentioned to you that I am somewhat of an editor aficionado. Whoa. I think fire trucks are coming out. Let me get back here. We're right in front of a fire station here. Oh, you're just backing in? Okay. I thought y'all were coming out. One reason I'm somewhat of a aficionado to editors is that I wrote a word processing program back in the days of the old Apple IIe and Apple IIgs. Well, I still feel the thrill, in fact, when we got these Apple IIgs and they had a 16-bit processor in them. You could use the index registers to access an entire document that was huge in comparison with what we were able to do on the Apple IIe. And quickly, too. So, I like a good, fast, convenient editor. In fact, one of the best editors I've ever seen is one called TSE, the Semware editor. It ran under DOS, though. I still used it for writing HTML pages and actually software that ran under Windows. And Skip Gore tells me that there's a new version that runs in the 32-bit environment. It's still character-based, which is fine. I tried it about a year ago, though, and had absolutely no luck with it. Well, I had a little luck. It just didn't seem very efficient to use. Good boy. That's my buddy. But NoTab Pro is one of those editors that has some elegance to it. It's got a lot of features, and some of my favorites are the ability to launch the web browser on the current document that you're editing, so that you can just hit the F8 key, and you can actually configure what browsers you want to use. But that's a handy feature, especially when you're doing a little bit of fairly complicated HTML markup. And of course, anytime you do even the slightest little thing, it's a good idea actually to check it out. And this gives you a good way to check it out fairly conveniently. NoTab Pro is a multi-document interface editor, so you can have pretty much as many documents as you want open at a time. And one of the options in the options dialog under the view menu, actually, oddly enough, instead of the tools menu, is to preserve your environment. So if you have, you know, 5 or 6 files open, and you close the program, come back tomorrow and run it, you'll be in the exact position. It'll reload all those files with your cursor right where you left it. Very handy feature. I actually use that to sort of keep track of the kind of things that I'm working on. You know, it's really very seldom when you are only working on one thing at a time. And that, of course, is one thing that makes Windows pretty popular. You know, this ability to leave an application and come back to it right where you were. And the additional benefit of leaving all the data right where it is, even though you've shut the computer off in between or whatever, is a nice one. It's even got an option called blind friendly mode. Now, I haven't seen that it's not blind friendly even without checking that option, so I'm really not exactly sure what that does. One of the things NoTab has too is what they call flipbooks, which I think you could probably consider them little programs that run on your data, and they perform different functions. One of them, one I actually don't like, but you may, is one that'll actually fill in HTML tags for you. So as you begin typing say you typed an anchor tag, and you did :a, it would actually type out the rest of the tag for you and leave your cursor where you fill in information about where that anchor refers to and what the label is for the anchor. Likewise with tags that need to be closed. If, you know, in HTML, the tag, for instance, is less than P greater than for a paragraph, I think I've already said it. So when you type that, NoteTab Pro, or any of the NoteTabs, there's a standard, a light, and a pro. The light is free, by the way. It fills in the closing tag, so which in HTML is less than slash P greater than. Well, personally, I hate that, so I turn it off. One of the reasons I hate it, you know, sometimes you might be adding tags to a document. You may just move to the beginning of the paragraph and put the less than P greater than, and it adds the closing tag, and then your paragraph's behind it. So, once I get typing, I prefer just to, let's get this one too, everybody. It's just some little ones, but we might as well get them. I just prefer to keep on typing without having to stop and read something or even worry about making sure it did something right or whatever. It's really not that much work to finish up that tag. Okay. Good doggy. These branches really grew since we got all that rain. I thought at the beginning of the summer how interesting it was that I wasn't having to trim very often. But that's not true anymore. Good boy. That's it, little buddy. So, if you're in need of an editor, that's a nice one. I recommend you check out NoteTab Pro, or NoteTab Standard, or NoteTab Lite. They are at notetab.com, NoteTab.com. I also would like to hear from any of you about other editors that you've tried. Now, one thing I should mention about NoteTab is its stability. I've tried UltraEdit. What's that other one? In fact, I've tried WinEdit. I've tried a few of them, and I have actually been able to make them crash within a day of heavy use, and that's just not acceptable. I've actually been able to crash NoteTab too. It's not very often, and of course I always save fairly frequently when I'm working on a document or before I leave my desk as I'm working on something. So if something does happen, losses usually stay to a minimum. But yeah, if you know of some other editors, let us know. Love to check them out. I've heard of a few others. There's Boxer, which I actually tried a few years ago, but love to hear about your experiences with these things. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us for today. As always, we love to hear your feedback. Our comment line is 206-984-9203. Our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com. And our web address is blindcooltech.com. One of the things I'd like to do in a show in the fairly near future is talk about RSS readers. Do some demonstrations and some evaluations. And for those of you that don't know, these are often called news readers or RSS aggregators. And they allow you to subscribe to a or to use a website's RSS feed, which is a list of the headlines that are new on a particular website. And of course, this allows you to keep track of what's going on a multitude of websites without having to go and visit each one. So you can just look at the headlines, and if you want to read a particular article, you can do that. And many of them now support the enclosure tag, which will make it appropriate for using it to receive podcasts as well. So be looking forward to that on Blind Cool Tech. Ooh, what a hell. All right, enjoyed talking with you guys. We're going up the steps now, so I need to trim my own bush there. I will talk to you again real soon. Oh, Jakesters. Oh, I thought somebody'd have the air on in here. It's actually not bad in here at all, though. Where are you, Fredsters? Somebody leave Fredsters outside. I see him flopping on the floor. He's goofy. He just throws himself on the floor and rolls around. I don't know about you, Jake. All right, thanks for joining us on this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Go ahead, drink the water. I hope Fredster's out here. Freddy? Fred, come here, bud. Oh, he's inside. There's Fred. Come on, buddy. Good doggy. Are you asleep?